Welcome to the Anthem Church Podcast. Our desire is to transform lives through authentic experiences with God and with people. This message is brought to you from Anthem Church in Fairview, Oregon. We pray you are encouraged, inspired, and strengthened through the teaching and preaching of God's Word.
I want to ask you a question right off the bat. If I was to ask you, who in your world is the most unlikely person to get saved or to become a follower of Jesus, who is that person? There's probably a picture that flashes in your mind, a mental image of somebody that comes to mind. And wouldn't it be wonderful, wouldn't it be a powerful moment if you saw that person and they walked through the doors and you kept an eye on them and all of a sudden that hand raised and they got born again, became a follower of Jesus. Listen, that would be an incredible moment. And I was thinking about some people that, you know, some famous people that were converted to or became Christians in their life, and some incredible moments, you know, amazing public conversions. Men like the Son of Sam, and some of you might remember in the 70s, this guy was a serial killer in New York, and he's currently serving out a 365-year prison sentence but has been born again, has written some things, serves as a chaplain in the prison, who would have thought, right? Who would have thought a guy like that would experience God? Who would ever thought that Larry Flint, the producer or publisher of Hustler, a porn magazine, would come to know Christ? What a moment that must have been, right? Or who'd have thought that Alice Cooper, you know, the one that everybody knows that song, right? School's out for the summer. I mean, every teenager sings it, right? And the dude's an amazing believer in Jesus. You know, who'd have thought? I mean, those are just a few of the famous ones. But and I probably could imagine that if we went around this room and we, you know, heard the stories of the transformational process that people went through to as they became born again, it would be amazing. And you experienced an authentic moment with Jesus and it brought a transformation, we'd be in awe of how God works, right? I mean, I was thinking about the thief on the cross, right? The one he's listening to these words of Jesus, and he hears Jesus say, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And about that time, the other thief just starts, you know, railing and saying, "Man, if you're the Son of God, come down off this cross and take us down too." He wants out, you know. And the other thief looks at him and says, "Dude, you know, what are you talking about? We are getting what we deserved." I mean, that's good theology, right? He knew that he was a sinner. He said, "But this guy, he's done nothing wrong." And then he turns to Christ and says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." I mean, he recognized, that's good theology too. He recognized that God's kingdom was not of this earth, right? And he ends up acknowledging his sin, turning to Jesus for grace. And Jesus says to him, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." That's an amazing conversion. Everything changes for that man in a moment. Because a moment can change everything in life. I mean, like the moments we had this morning, they can be totally transformation. I remember the way my world was changed in a moment when my dad, who was a tyrant, had an experience with God that changed the dynamics of our home from fear and anger to a home of love and peace. Come on, in an instant. One day, anger and fear. Next day, love and peace. It was just so incredibly amazing, and it changed everything. And because it only takes a moment for God to really turn something around, amen? To turn a trauma into a victory, to turn a failure into a triumph. Just a moment. And I want to talk to you in these few minutes that we have, to really, as we have been journeying through the book of Acts, to talk about the story of a man who had a moment with God that changed his life forever. And it changed literally so many things. And We're going to look at the Saul's conversion in chapter 9 of the book of Acts. And so before we go there, say with me, God can change everything in a moment. God can change anything in a moment. Just a moment. How long is that? That long? You know, I mean, I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what the situation that you're in. I mean, you might be going through hell in a situation in your life, but a moment can change it all. It may be at home, maybe at work, it may be a financial thing, it may be have to do with just people that you love, it may be a neighbor, I don't know, but I can promise you that your Heavenly Father does. And when we expect great things, you know, God moves in powerful ways. A moment can change everything. So where are we in our study? We're in the book of Acts. We're in chapter 9. And a guy named Saul has been leading a wave of hate towards the new believers, that's called the Way, the believers in Jesus. And he's finding them. He's harassing them. And they're being forced into hiding. They're worshiping in secret because of Saul's zeal to literally stamp out this movement called the Way. And so we're going to pick up the story in chapter 9. And my apologies to you, because I don't think we have this and it's not their fault, it's my fault. I didn't tell them to have it up on the board. So we're going to start at verse 1. You can listen to me as I read. If you have it in your smartphones, you can, or your Bible, if you're old school like me. And we got it up there, we got 1 through 3 up there. I'm going to read on. So, okay, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing threats of murder against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest and requested letters from him to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any men or women who belonged to the Way, he might bring them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he traveled and was nearing Damascus, a light from heaven suddenly flashed around him. Verse 4, falling to the ground, he heard his voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" he said. "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting," he replied. "But get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the sound but seeing no one. Then Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were opened, he could see nothing. So they took him by the hand and led him into Damascus, and he was unable to see for 3 days and did not eat or drink anything. I mean, listen, Saul is one of those guys. If you read the chapter before, you know, he's the one that, as they were killing Stephen, the people were laying their cloaks at his feet. I mean, he was the leader of the hate movement, right, back then. And if there was anyone that was least likely to become a follower of Jesus, it was Saul. I mean, if you did a poll back in that age or time, or we did a poll right now, well, back then, and the poll was, who's more likely to become a follower of Jesus? Saul of Tarsus or the Roman emperor? And the winner would have been the Roman emperor. That's how far they knew Saul was going to be from coming to know Christ. I mean, he was a stubborn, bullheaded, and no one was going to persuade him. No one was going to, it wasn't going to happen from a witness. And because of, you know, his character and the nature of his character, he needed God to do something quite out of the ordinary. And God did. He pulled his chain pretty sharply, suddenly, in a moment, right? Unexpectedly. And so let's look at, I want to talk to you about these moments, these miracle moments that I see. And I saw 7 miracle moments that happened during this whole story. And I want to look at them, because these are the kind of moments that can just change everything in your world. Amen. And so let's look at them and see what we can learn. Here's the first one. It happens in verse 3. It says this: as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. See, in a moment, everything could change because a light can come on. A light can come on. I mean, haven't you ever had that moment in your life where, you know, you're thinking about something, you're struggling with something, and all of a sudden, bing, the light bulb in your brain goes on. You just go, oh man, that's the answer. And a moment of illumination hits you. And you just, and it gives you the idea you need. Listen, God is the author of those moments. He is the one that enlightens our heart. He turns the light on. Because, why? He is the creator of light, right? In Genesis, let there be light. First thing that God did, he said, there was light, and God saw that light was good. So wouldn't it be apropos that the first thing that that connection and experience that Paul saw, this God-hater, not God-hater, but Jesus-hater, would experience would be a light from heaven, the light that God created. I mean, Jesus was called, of course, the light. And John described him, I love this, as a light that shines into the darkness. And I mean, how many of you have had dark moments in your world? Dark moments when you felt alone, discouraged, or depressed. And you needed a light to shine into that moment, and he did it. Come on, amen? God is the one that shines the light. I love that song. He is the light shining in the darkness. He is the hope of all the nations. He is the light. He is the light for all the world to see. John 1:5 says, the light shines in the dark, and the darkness has never extinguished it. Come on, are you with me? The light shines into your darkness, and the darkness has never extinguished it. You let the light of God in a moment come into a dark place, and boom, everything can change in that moment. I love this. But also, there's another side to it, because Jesus wants us to be that light also. What did he say? You know, when our light shines brightly, it illuminates those that are in darkness. It illuminates the path in front of somebody that's in darkness when we're next to them, when we come to them, when we love them, right? Isn't that what it says in Matthew 5:6? In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we're gonna be doing Serve Day this weekend, right? On Saturday. And Serve Day, we're going to be serving, we're going to be loving, and what's going to happen? People in darkness, because we serve, our light illuminates a path, and they're standing back here in darkness going, where do I go? What do I do? And your good deed, just and your presence, the light of Jesus in you shines a light on that path. And that's and listen, they see a way. They see a way out of their darkness. Folks, that's why we can't just have all Christian friends. We can't just sit, surround ourselves with believers and just think, well, you know, I just got to isolate myself. No, you know, I hope that you maintain friends, not that they influence you, but so that you can influence them. Come on, are you with me? We've got to be in their world if we're going to make a difference in their world. Amen. When was the last time you went out to dinner with somebody that wasn't a believer? Come on, think about it. Come on, Jesus spent all, you know, of the 11, I think there's 11 dinners, 7 of them were with total unbelievers. He went and had dinner with unbelievers. Have the last 11 dinners you've had, were 7 of them with unbelievers? Come on, are you with me? Why? He wants us to be that light that illuminates a path for them to see in the darkness. Come on. Amen? Because a light can change everything in a moment. So, listen, when we commit ourselves to that, that's why I'm so important that you come and be involved with Serve Day this Saturday so that your good deeds can illuminate. The second thing that happens in Saul's radical transformation, and he has these miracle moments that bring transformation, that can change everything, is in a moment, a voice can speak. And that was, you know, first we have a light that shines, and then a voice can speak. In verse 4, he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? You know, I don't know if you've ever heard God speak to you personally, but the truth is he loves and wants to speak to your heart and speak to you. I mean, some people will say you're out of your mind, right, if you believe that God speaks to you. I mean, they say that if you're hearing voices, right, that you're mentally ill, right? Isn't that what they said about Mike Pence when he said, Vice President Pence, when he was accused of that because he said he hears God speak to him, he must be mentally ill. So am I guess, all right, because I hear God speak to me. But God wants to speak to us. Somebody say amen. He wants to give us direction. He wants to encourage our hearts. Look at what Isaiah wrote. I love this verse in Isaiah 30:20. Your own ears will hear him. Okay, a lot of times we wait for God to speak to us through different things, but God wants to speak to you. Look at your neighbor and say, God wants to speak to you. Your own ears will hear him. I underline that in my Bible because, listen, back when I wasn't hearing God, before I learned to recognize his voice, I needed that promise. So I would know that that's what God wanted to do, and I was expecting that, and sooner than later, I began to hear him. Amen. Let's go on. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. God speaks to us. He speaks to our heart. He'll also speak to you from this word. Amen. And here's the truth. Those two things will always agree. If he speaks to your heart, it will always be confirmed in his word. Amen. God will send a person with a prophetic gift into your life that will speak a word to you. And many times it'll confirm what you are feeling in your own heart. Amen. And so you'll always be able to find confirmation for direction in God's word. And so it's so important that we understand and hear and know his word. I love this verse in Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light to my path. See, in a moment, a voice from heaven can speak, a word from God spoken, everything will change. Changed in my life. And that, you know, that night as a teenager when God called in the ministry, everything, my world changed when God said, I'm calling you to be a leader, Brad. And I heard his voice directly. Amen. And that's why you can be encouraged, because you never know when or how God's going to bring that word to you. But listen, he'll bring a word. He'll bring it. Lisa was saying to me, she turned to me this morning in the worship. She goes, there's a word for today. There's a word for today. And she's expecting it, listening for it. And listen, that's what you need to be expecting and listening, because that word can change everything in a moment as we hear it. Amen. That's why it's so important to make this Bible, the Word of God, a regular part, a regular meal in our lives. Amen. A daily meal, a twice daily meal. Amen. So that we can receive everything that God has for us. Read it, study it, hear it, amen? Speak it. So important for you to speak the word of God, because that's how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you speak the word of God out, okay, it goes out of your mouth, it goes in your ear, it goes into your heart, and it begins to circulate in your life. Amen. It begins to circulate through the spiritual systems of your senses. Amen. And it begins to impact all of those areas. It's transforming. Come on, are you with me? So do read it, study it, speak it, hear it, memorize it in whatever order it works for you. Come on. Amen. Are you with me? Come on. Amen. Because, listen, you'll be reading and something will jump out at you that you need for that moment, that'll give you the wisdom you need for a problem you're experiencing, or it'll give you the direction that you need, or the courage that you need in a moment, or the integrity that you need to stand up to temptation. Come on. Amen. Are you with me? So now there's another character in this story. Let's go back to the story. There's another character in the story. His name is Ananias. And Ananias is a good man, okay? And Ananias is just minding his own business, loving God. But in a moment, God changes everything about his life. I mean, we don't know who Ananias is from Adam until this moment, okay? Because God is about to make him the most famous soul winner of all time. Amen. Remembered for all history. God changes everything in this man's future with one moment. And here's what that moment was. Because the moment was, a vision can appear in a moment. Amen. A vision can appear. God calls to Ananias in a vision in Damascus. Verse 10, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. I mean, a vision from God comes. A vision from God comes. Now, sometimes God can paint a vision without you being just having this movie from God or God appearing, but he paints a vision in front of you. And that's what God did in front of this man, painted a vision of Saul, of this man who is on a filled with a world of hate, just tearing up the believers, you know. And God begins to speak to him in this vision and tells him what's happening to Saul and how he's going to use him to bring restoration and salvation, and that Saul's going to be a historical figure that's going to make a huge difference. And even Ananias hears all that, and he goes, Lord, I'm not too interested in going. Look what he says. It says, Ananias, verse 10, there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, here I am, Lord. He said, get up and go to the street called Straight. I mean, God gives him the address. The Lord said to him, to the house of Judas, and ask for the man from Tarsus named Saul, since he is praying there. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and placing his hands on him so that he can regain his sight. So, Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard from many people about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has authority here from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for this man is my chosen instrument to take my name to the Gentiles, kings, and the Israelites. I'll show him how much he must suffer in my name. So Ananias left and entered the house. Okay? So here's Ananias in a vision. He sees that. But he's not the only one that has a vision. Saul, who is temporarily blind, has a vision while he is still blind. I mean, physically, he can't see anything, but that doesn't stop vision from coming. Come on, are you with me? And I want you to catch this, because sometimes we can't see anything in front of us. It don't look like there's any pathway for it, but God will give us a vision of what he has for the future and what he's going to do in the future and what he wants to do in the future. Listen, when I come in here and pray on Sunday morning, listen, I don't see one empty seat. In my mind, as I'm praying, this place is packed out. And I see people lined up on the walls, okay? That's the way I pray, because that's what I'm seeing. I might not see it, but that's what I'm seeing. Come on, are you with me? All right, so that's what's seeing. And he's seeing these things that God wants to do. So, you know, Ananias sees a vision of how a life can be transformed. Are you with me? Are you catching this? When God gives you a vision of how a life can be changed, that's incredible. When you quit seeing the opposition as those, seeing those that are without God as opposition, but start seeing them as broken, lost, needy people who need compassion, listen, everything changes, okay? And your heart can be stirred, and your feet can get moving, and Ananias moves with the vision of a broken man. And these are moments, I think, that could change everything in our world. When we see those around us that are broken, needy, blinded, and the reason, and see them as the reason that Jesus came. When we get our hands dirty in the reality of humanity, okay? Come on, are you with me? Capture a vision of that. That's when things begin to change suddenly. And, you know, I love that this in back in chapter 3 where it says suddenly. Suddenly, that unexpected, unplanned, unprepared, out of the blue, abruptly, that's the definition of it. But suddenly is also an interruption. It's an interruption, right? Suddenly interrupted Ananias' life, and he didn't push it aside. He took action, right? He went with it. And in a moment, something unexplainable happened. It's so amazing. Can you think about this? I mean, so what happens? I mean, Ananias shows up at the door where Saul is and knocks, you know. And, you know, Saul's dudes comes to the door and opens up the door. And the guy says, who are you? Ananias says, well, the Lord sent me here. Is this the house of Judas? And this is the street Straight, right? Well, God sent me here to pray for somebody in your house. Is there a guy named Saul here by way? And the guy goes, Just a second. Closes the door. Ananias is going, oh, man, what's going on? So the dude goes back to Saul. You know, Saul's in the back room. He hadn't been eating or drinking for 3 days. And he goes, hey Saul, there's this dude at the front door who wants to talk to you. You know, he didn't know nothing about the vision, you know. And Saul says, hey, what's his name? Well, his name is Ananias. Show him right in. Can you imagine the connection at that point where, you know, God gives him a vision, says there's a guy named Ananias that's going to show up your door? And he does, you know. And in a moment, everything is changed. Praise God. So, in a moment, vision can appear. In a moment, a blind eye can see. Think about this. In verse 17 and 19, then Ananias went to the house, entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. See, God's plan for Saul was to see, but he didn't know that. He didn't know that. He didn't know how he was going to see. And he saw completely different from that point on. Amen? And here's the truth. In a moment, listen, in a moment, the scales that have been blinding the people that you love the most and those that are around you, the scales that have been blinding them from seeing their need of Jesus, they can fall from their eyes in a moment. I mean, you don't have to be, you know, God can do that in a moment. And I know a lot of people that walk around, you know, blind to their own, you know, issues and to their own situations and their own disobedience to Jesus. They think they're A-okay in their own mind. But God can remove the scales from our eyes so that all of a sudden we see differently and correctly in a moment. Come on, are you with me? People need that, amen? They need that. Listen, the truth is, I think about people that a lot of times people start dating or building a relationship with someone and they're blind to the things that they should be concerned with, right? And cautious of. And in a moment, our eyes can be opened. The truth can break through. And listen, I want to add something right here about Saul's conversion that I forgot to mention, that I think that's, it's one important factor that is rarely talked about. And I read this thing in Romans chapter 16. I want you to look at this verse, Romans chapter 16. It says this, greet Andronicus and Junia, okay? Greet Andronicus and Junia. Do you have that? Yeah, my what? Say, my what? My relatives and fellow prisoners who were notable among the apostles who also were in Christ, say it, before me. I thought that was a really interesting. Who are Andronicus and Junia? They're relatives and of Saul, and they're believers. Listen, can I ask you a question? Who is the more likely person to pray for you? Who is the more likely person that did pray for you? A relative or a stranger? A relative. Yeah. Depending on, you know, your family. I mean, some of you have to take a gun to your family reunions, but I'm not talking about those families, okay? I'm talking about, you know, most families, right? Listen, I wouldn't be here today. There was one relative that prayed for our family. One relative. And all of my dad and both my dad and mom had big families, you know, 7, 8 and kids in their family, and good Polish Catholic families. And there was one, just one relative that was a born-again Christian and that prayed for us. And Saul, you know, soon to be renamed Paul, I mean, he has relatives that are praying for him. Listen, can you, let me say this, and I want you to hear this very strongly. Every miracle moment that changes everything has a prayer as its source. Okay, are you following me? Listen, we just got done. How many of you lit some fuses this week, okay? Lit some fuses, right? Fireworks fuses, come on. Yeah, how many burned your hand on some fuses? I burned 2 fingers, you know, lighting fuses, right? And you have to light the fuse to get a fireworks to go off. And prayer lights the fuse of miracle moments. And that's why it's so important. All of these moments were a result of prayer. Andronicus and Junia, they're praying for Saul. They're interceding for him. They knew that nothing was going to happen if it didn't begin with prayer. And that's why tomorrow night, special night of prayer, who in your world, listen, let me ask you, who in your world is that most unlikely person? You've had a little time to think about it. Turn your notes over and write their name on that piece of paper right now. No, don't look at me. Get your piece of paper and put your put that name on that. Write it down. Come on. Amen. And let's pray. Let's believe that that's going to change. They're going to be changed and have that miracle moment. You are going to light the fuse to their miracle moment. And listen, prayer is the foundation of any successful man or woman of God and any successful church. And that's why I think, with our August 21, it's going to be so powerful. And I truly believe that our church, and like I said earlier, that our church is on the brink of an incredible surge of growth. I think we're going to see an incredible amount of people being slow down here a second because I can't get it out. We're going to have impact in this community like we've never had before, and influence in this community like we've never had before. I believe God is going to save and bring in officials, community leaders, business owners, people that just like Saul are the most unlikely people to be candidates for salvation, and they're going to get born again. They're going to have transformational moments and experience Jesus in life-changing ways. And listen, our 21 days of prayer in August are going to be the catalyst of that movement, because in a moment, anything can change. Come on, are you with me? All right. And here's a couple more. Then what happens? Then what happens? I got to finish up here. The next thing that happens is turmoil can end in a moment. Listen, I know it's in your notes. It says persecution. Wrong word. It's turmoil. Turmoil can end. The turmoil that you have personally, the turmoil that's going on around you. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus, and at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? When God moves in a moment, man, everything is transformed. Turmoil can end. Listen, in a moment, God can take out the enemy of your life. Okay, he can change them. He can change the situation in your heart. Listen, God changes the times and the season. That's what Daniel said in 2:21. This is a great verse. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and establishes them. He gives wisdom to the wise, knowledge to the discerning. He can change that stubborn spouse's heart, that boss's attitude, that antagonistic relative. Can you imagine how Andronicus and Junia felt when they went to the family reunion and Saul showed up? As believers, they're backing up, right? But God could change, and he ended that turmoil in a moment. Peace will come, can come, amen? Verse 31, the church throughout Judea enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. Jesus promised peace. I am leaving you with a gift, he said in John 14, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Listen. A gift is not a gift until it's received. Have you received that gift of peace? And then what happens? Hope can rise in a moment. And the believers, you read the rest of the chapter, man, they were in the church was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and encouragement of the Holy Spirit, and it increased in numbers. I mean, listen, people are looking for a lot of things to change their world. Come on up, Jeffrey. A lot of things to change their world. People look to the lottery. Come on, lucky number 7, right? Come on. People think, man, if I could just find the right person. If I could just find the right person. Some people look to things to change their life. They think, man, if I could just get that, the one. They live by the motto, the one with the most toys wins in the end, right? Anyway, take your pick. Power, success, sex, education. The list goes on and on of what people think can change everything in their life. But nothing can change like a moment with God. Amen? And you may be saying, man, Pastor Brad, I've been waiting a long time for some of these things. Listen, can I just give you a scripture to encourage you? 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Did you hear that? The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. The rest of that verse, he's talking about salvation and repentance. But listen, the first part is about his promises, okay? So listen, God is able to do these things. And he's able in a moment change those things. And that's why 1 Peter 1:3, I love this. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus from the dead. Remember, the basis of our faith is not the Bible. It's not the church. The basis of our faith is the fact that Jesus rose from the grave, witnessed by over 500 eyewitnesses. That's the basis and the foundation of Christianity. Jesus, God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live with what? Great expectation. Are you expecting those moments? I want to encourage you, please, don't ever live without a great expectation that in a moment, everything could change. There's a lot of different kind of moments that God may use, or he may use them all, but he can change everything in a moment. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us. We are located at 1415 Northeast 223rd Avenue in Fairview, Oregon. You can find us online at www.anthemfamily.org and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at My Anthem Family. God bless.